The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him. And spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother, Jesus said to those sitting at his feet. That's nice, don't you think? Just one big happy family, all doing God's will. Still, I suppose we should ask what they were doing exactly. How was it that they were accomplishing the will of God? Answer, they were just sitting there. Why? They were listening. Well, what were they hearing? Well, the answer is in verse 28. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, Jesus said. They were hearing that God wants genuine, dirt between the toes sinners to be absolved of their sin. God wants sinners to be forgiven. Now, that right there is a serious promise. Both then and now, just think about all the sin and blasphemy in our world. Just look around at all the things done and left undone to both God and neighbor. And Jesus tells us all of that God forgives. That is a serious promise indeed, because the psalmist is right, you know. We just heard him sing, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? Who could be saved?" But not to worry, there is mercy with the Lord who forgives. That's really nice. Taken together then, God doesn't keep track of our sin, but forgives it instead. And this he only does when we sit on our fanny listening to Jesus' word. Is that what we're hearing? Is that what we're supposed to understand here? Well, that's just crazy. It's not right. What about the law? What about doing your best? What about cultivating virtue and avoiding vice? Perhaps you see now why some were talking about Jesus saying, "That guy's out of his mind. Whoever heard of such a thing?" Perhaps you see why even Mother Mary and the rest of Jesus' kinfolk were compelled to conduct an intervention and save him from himself. Go get him. He's lost his mind. It's no wonder the religious legal beagle scribes were just beside themselves. Jesus was preaching the exact opposite of God's law. He was contradicting the belief that good people are rewarded by God and bad people, well, they're punished. Everybody knows there's no free lunch. Everybody knows we're supposed to get what we deserve, whether good or evil. And so they concluded, Jesus is possessed by the devil. He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons, they said. But teams that don't cooperate are destined to fail. Countries that are divided, well, they don't last long. And my goodness, even gamecocks and tigers corralled under the same roof, well, that creates friction. Now, the devil may be many things, but stupid he is not. And so, the scribes' desperate conclusion about Jesus doesn't make any sense at all. But it does reveal a bondage from which there is no hope. Left to themselves, sinners, religious and otherwise, ourselves included, will get God's salvation exactly backwards. We will call good bad and bad good. We will call the law gospel and the gospel law. And we will never trust that sitting on our behind, listening to a do-nothing gospel, is the only way to be saved. And we will go all the way to hell, blaspheming God by telling him what he can and can't do, telling him how he has to save us, and demanding that he behave and conform to our will. Truly, our sin is unforgivable. Truly, there is no hope for us. Truly, there is no forgiveness for anybody without divine intervention. Oh, but there is divine intervention in the face of sinful rebellion, and it started all the way back at the beginning. In a remarkable display of getting reality backwards, Adam blamed his sin on his Creator. The woman whom you gave to be with me is how Adam said it. And likewise, an equally deluded Eve attempted to exonerate herself by blaming the serpent and God by extension, because after all, the devil is God's creation too, you know. And in response to our first parents' blasphemous, backward, unforgivable rebellion, who are now outside the Garden of Eden, doing nothing but listening, they heard a promise of mercy and forgiveness that would come when the stronger man crushed the strong serpent's head. And here we are. So listen up. I've actually got good news for you this morning. That stronger man promised to Adam and Eve has gone out of his mind with desire to give you mercy and forgiveness. He is almighty. And believe me, he has tied up the evil one and plundered his property. All the blasphemous, backward, unforgivable rebellion that we can muster, Jesus Christ has taken it to the grave, and he left it there as he walked out the other side, giving nothing but peace between God and sinners. In bread and wine and water, with his promise of mercy preached into them, all of your sin and blasphemy is forgiven. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father, and all of this for Christ's sake. So, do the will of God by sitting on your duff, doing absolutely nothing, but becoming all ear and hearing that Jesus Christ is for you. Amen.